The report I'm issuing today is meant to help families and communities understand what the science tells us about the health impact of e-cigarettes on young people.
This past December, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called the skyrocketing use of e-cigarettes among young people a major public health concern.
And the message from the report is clear. Nicotine-containing products in any form, including e-cigarettes, are not safe for youth. Now, contrary to the belief of many, the aerosol that's produced by e-cigarettes is not harmless water vapor for either the user or for those who inhale it secondhand.
E-cigarettes are now the most commonly used form of cigarettes among young people in the United States. And during the past 5 years, the number of middle school and high school students who report having used e-cigarettes has tripled. I'm Sarah McConnell, and this is With Good Reason. Later in the show...
As cool and as clean as a breath of fresh air. America's most refreshing cigarette. Snow Fresh. Filter cool.
New science is showing that cigarettes that have menthol added may be more addictive. But first, vaping and the use of e-cigarettes is growing at a rapid rate, and now some people are using e-cigarettes to vape marijuana, heroin, methamphetamines, and other drugs. It's a trend seen in online forums, blogs, and videos. Michelle Peace is a professor and associate chair of forensic science at Virginia Commonwealth University. She's part of a team investigating the use of e-cigarettes and illegal drugs. Michelle, we knew about the rise of e-cigarettes and vaping, but now apparently people are putting drugs into the liquid mix. Is putting drugs into the vaping liquid really a thing and growing in popularity as far as you can tell?
Yeah. We spend a lot of time looking at websites, drug forums, blogs, YouTube videos to try to understand how are electronic cigarettes being modified? How is the e-liquid that is going into the e-cigarette being modified? What are people doing to use other drugs? This is a significant problem in terms of people putting drugs other than nicotine.
So there are online drug forums that are more like, how do you use illicit drugs?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about the e-liquid. On a standard e-cigarette, there's just a little pool of liquid that vaporizes?
Yeah. No matter what generation of electronic cigarette it is that you're using, they've got some primary components. The battery, a coil, a wick of some material, either silica or cotton, and the e-liquid.
Was e-liquid ever just water?
No.
What was e-liquid?
All right, so an e-liquid is it's a mixture, and users can modify this mixture based on what they want their experience to be.
But what was it initially?
So it's propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin. Manufacturers are adding nicotine to that, and there's usually a flavorant. And there are thousands of different flavors that people can choose from.
Like what?
Bubblegum, cinnamon, vanilla, tutti frutti, breakfast, lunch, mashed potatoes.
And so the idea was you could get the same charge out of a cigarette, but ostensibly not hurt your lungs.
Yeah, that's one of the predominant reasons why people decided to start using electronic cigarettes, is they believed that it was going to be a healthier alternative for them to consume nicotine.
Now, conversely, vaping is more like, vaping's a bigger device.
No, vaping is what happens with the electronic cigarette. The user will hit a button on the device to charge the battery, heat the coil, and then the e-liquid hits that hot coil, vaporizes, and immediately condenses into tiny droplets that form the cloud. And when the user inhales that cloud, that's vaping. So vaping is to electronic cigarettes as smoking is to traditional cigarettes.
The Surgeon General has just come out and said e-cigarettes, we just don't know enough about these. Keep them away from young people.
Correct.
Do we know anything about the possible dangers of inhaling, what were those ingredients again?
Propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, flavorants, those chemicals that constitute flavorants. That can be a very complex profile of chemicals, some of which are known to be respiratory irritants.
So already we can presume these aren't great things to be vaping over a long period.
We have to have some appreciation that long term, there might actually be some damage performed. But the body of research has yet to come to a tremendous consensus about this right now.
When the Surgeon General made this pronouncement about the possible dangers of e-cigarettes, mm-hmm. he said there was skyrocketing use of them
Absolutely.
Among young people.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has skyrocketed. When you ask young people, have you used electronic cigarettes within the past 30 days? You know, maybe 10 to 15% of young people, high school-aged kids, have actually used electronic cigarettes.
And where are they using them? There are now commercial stores that are inviting sales of these devices or use of the devices in
sure.
vending machines. Or
sure. So the FDA and states have regulated them so that anybody under the age of 18 cannot purchase them. So for them to go to an establishment to actually vape, you're probably not going to see somebody under the age of 18 doing that. But certainly there are vape stores, places where you can go and buy electronic cigarettes, buy the e-liquids. Some of them have lounges built into them, you know, couches, you know, where people can sit around and vape there. So I think the other piece that is, you know, potentially challenging around that question is that most establishments have banned vaping, much like they've banned smoking in a traditional cigarette. So
really? So, but there's not a secondhand vape danger, right?
There is a tremendous amount of pressure to understand secondhand vaping. Is it dangerous? Are we getting the same exposure to nicotine or other drugs from people who are just standing next to somebody who is vaping? And so there are a handful of studies right now that have shown that we're not really seeing the secondhand nicotine concentrations that people are really concerned about. But those are preliminary studies. So there's still some debate about that.
You have a study ongoing to look at the effects of adding illicit drugs to the liquid mix.
Correct.
Why is this such a thing? Is it discernible to the naked eye?
So when there is a new device on the market, some people are going to try to modify that device for illicit purposes. So not only are we seeing that people are adding drugs other than nicotine to the e-liquid, we're also seeing them modify the electronic cigarette to try to improve the drug delivery, or what they perceive as the drug delivery.
And what are they adding?
Methamphetamine. The drug blogs will promote, of course, THC, the active component in marijuana. We have seen drug blogs talk about heroin, fentanyl, synthetic cannabinoids. We have some tremendous concern in addition to that, that people are putting drugs other than nicotine into the e-liquids and not advertising that it's got a drug other than nicotine.
Oh, manufacturers.
I would say probably not a manufacturer per se, but certainly somebody who's manufacturing an e-liquid.
An illicit drug dealer who's
right.
saying, take this e-liquid, boy, will you like it.
Correct. And so we're finding that the websites do not identify that it has a potentially dangerous drug other than nicotine. So we regularly purchase e-liquids that look a little bit more expensive than what an e-liquid should be to see if it has anything in it. And we have certainly found the active ingredients for Kratom, which is metragenine and 7-hydroxymetragenine, could be a hallucinogen. We have found designer drugs where they're putting the drug into the e-liquid, not advertising it, but it is more expensive than a traditional e-liquid with nicotine. So probably what is happening is that people are promoting these in the drug forums and saying, oh, go to this site and purchase this e-liquid and you're going to have a great experience. So you go to that site, and of course they're not going to advertise that they have some kind of drug in it.
Is it detectable if someone is near you and is putting methamphetamine into the e-liquid? Can you tell?
No, that's the scary piece. smoking a joint has a fairly characteristic smell to it. And so the concern about putting THC into an e-liquid and vaping it is that it does not have the characteristic smell to it. If you're going to put methamphetamine into an e-liquid, you don't have that other kind of behavior around taking a pill or injecting or snorting. And so it's a more socially acceptable thing to vape. You will actually see in the drug forums where people will say, and you can smoke your methamphetamine at work and nobody will be the wiser.
Wow.
Yeah.
So with your grant, you have an interesting contraption. You have a mechanical device that puffs on an e-cigarette that's loaded with methamphetamine, and you're testing to see just how much of the illegal drug is in the vapor cloud?
Yeah, that's the first concern. Putting it into the e-liquid is one thing. Actually being successful in it vaporizing is another.
To get into the bloodstream.
Right. So there's lots of components to the research. And so thus far, we've determined that drugs like methamphetamine, the synthetic cannabinoids, are certainly going to be in the vapor.
Why does the Justice Department care? What do they need to understand through your research?
There is some concern from a criminal justice perspective in terms of what are new drug usage trends? What are new drug trafficking trends? The second thing is from a toxicological perspective, whether we're talking about postmortem toxicology, you know, trying to identify what the person had taken prior to death versus human performance toxicology, right? In terms of, well, they said all they were doing was vaping. Did they have a drug in the e-cigarette that might have contributed to their performance? How do we identify these drug usage trends to testify accurately on the stand as to the impact of these drugs being vaped? And so once you identify those things, then it becomes, how do we now combat this? How do we make sure also, for instance, to tell law enforcement officers that they need to collect e-cigarette paraphernalia that they might find at a scene, right? Because that e-cigarette paraphernalia is going to look much different than a tourniquet and a syringe or a bottle of pills, which they would collect. I've consulted a number of cases in which witnesses have said that when the victim vaped, they either immediately convulsed or died, right? And so now the question is, if that was the case, what was in the electronic cigarette? There's a giant effort here to educate law enforcement officers, educate medical examiners, educate people who work in the crime lab, either in the controlled substances sections, because people are buying e-liquids online and they might not know that it has something dangerous in it.
Poor parents. Mom, I was only vaping.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and we've certainly talked to a number of parents in that very situation.
Well, Michelle Peace, this is fascinating. Thank you for talking with me and with good reason.
Thank you. This has been great. Thank you.
Michelle Peace is a professor and associate chair of forensic science at Virginia Commonwealth University. Coming up next, some bad news about menthol cigarettes.